Dear brothers and sisters, when seeds are sown and carefully tended in the soil, they sprout, grow, and eventually bear fruit. By providing the right amount of water, sunlight, weather, and nutrients, the seed will germinate, grow, and bear fruit. It's a wondrous thing to witness life emerging from a seed that seemed dead, to watch it sprout, grow, and produce fruit. This is the natural law created by God. But some types of soil produce abundant fruit, whilst others yield little, even when the same type of seed is sown and the same amount of effort is put into cultivation. Why is that? It's because each soil has different elements. For example, after winter, we've got spring. And even in Korea, we have different types of soil and, you know, our farmers prepare seeds in larger fields and they cultivate and they get it ready in order to grow their fruits and their wheats and whatnot so that they can sell that to other customers. And of course, everyone uses and utilizes different types of fields. Not everyone's fields are exactly the same. And because they're not the same, even though, you know, certain farmers buy the same seeds from the same place, they go back to their fields and they sow it into their own different fields and they don't always have the same, they don't always bear the same fruit. Some types of soil is fertile and highly productive, while other soil is barren and less productive. The same difference exists in spiritual soil. Soil refers to the heart of a person, and the seed refers to the Word of God. Father God continually sows the seed of His Word into the hearts of His children. So when the Word is sown into a person's heart, it bears fruit, spiritually and physically. Fruits like the Beatitudes, the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of light, along with worldly blessings like wealth and good health. But do any of you feel as if the fruit in your life is growing too slowly or too little? Perhaps some of you feel as though there is no sign of fruit at all. If you diligently listen to the Word and put in effort but see little fruit, it's truly unfortunate. If this is you, then it's important to carefully examine the condition of your heart field. Any type of soil can be cultivated and turned into fertile ground for a rich harvest. So I hope that all of you will cultivate your heart field into fertile soil so that you can experience the joy of a bountiful harvest. Everyone has a heart, so we all have a heart field. So when we offer up the service to God, we are sowing the seed. So if we sow the seed, we must bear the fruit. We must be able to harvest. But if we only sow the seed and do not bear fruit or only bear a little bit of fruit, then that's something that we need to reflect upon, because other people sow seeds and, you know, if they're able to bear abundant fruit as opposed to us, then we need to look back on ourselves. We need to question, why is it that we're not able to bear as much fruit? Even though we receive prayer and we receive prayer of blessings and answers, why is it that we don't bear as much fruit? And the words of cultivating the heart field needs to take root in our heart and sow the seed. But not just sowing the seed, but we need to look after it. We need to cultivate it. And we need to know how to look after it. Our seeds so that it grows and bears fruit all the way to the end. All of these words preached in this altar are words that can help you grow and bear abundant fruit. So I hope that you can always be grateful and joyful before God. Jesus often spoke in parables using earthly examples so we could understand the spiritual aspects easier. The parable of the sower, the parable of the soils found in Matthew 13 verses 3 to 9 is an example. In the passage, Jesus classifies the ground into four types: beside the road, a rocky place, among thorns, and good soil. He then explains the results of sowing seeds in each of these four types of soil. We'll refer these four types of ground as fields. The field represents a person's heart. Just as there are different kinds of fields, there are also different kinds of hearts. Like each person has a unique face, so is the same with each person's heart. It's why people differ in character, way of thinking, and behavior. Even when faced with the same situation, a person can respond differently. Some people are very stubborn. Even if other people around them tries to teach them a better way, people who are extremely stubborn, they don't let go. They don't try and learn an easier way. Some people aren't stubborn and they learn. They easily learn other people's ways. Some people are more rigid and some people aren't as rigid. There are those whose hearts are also rough. And some people who likes to, you know, reflect and think. So we look at that as personalities sometimes, a change in personality. You know, we've got some people that look at other people and they gauge other people's personalities and they use that personality, the knowledge of other people's personalities, to, you know, work more better or to be at peace or to know when to push and when to stop. And they use the knowledge of other people's personalities for good. And in Korea, we have a way to acknowledge or find out what kind of personality everyone has. And in Korea, we call that MBTI. And it shows you whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, whether you're a planner or an organizer or someone who's very abrupt. In all of these personalities, they link with the heart fields. So if you look deep into our heart field, sorry, if you look deep into your personalities, then it becomes your heart field. So if you, like a lot of young people in Korea, they take a test and they find out their MBTIs, just like, you know, taking an IQ test. And when you do find out your MBTIs and you find out what kind of personality you have, you can use that. However, you know, if you find out other people's personalities, it's not easy for you to change other people's personalities, but you can use that for good. So in order to change your personalities into a better person, a kinder person, a person who can embrace more, then you need to look back on your heart field, go deeper within your personality, and find out how to cultivate the heart field into good soil so that you can embrace more souls. A type of heart field that's pleasing before God. And through these words of God, I hope that everyone can transform into a person with a heart filled with good soil. We need to always look back on our heart fields. But our heart field, our hearts cannot physically be seen with our eyes. It's why Jesus used the image of a field to represent the heart. Because it's not easy for us to actually look into our bodies and see our heart physically. So Jesus explained four representative types of hearts through the parable. But our heart fields can be seen through our personalities, which is why we can focus on our personalities. It can also be seen through action, our behavior. But the main part is our heart. In order to really know what our heart field is like, we need to look at our hearts. These differences in the heart lead to differences in each person's life. Some of you might think, you know, what's the difference? What's the big deal about a difference in heart? Of course there can be a difference. You know, it can have a significant impact on your life of faith. You know, if your heart, if your life becomes a little bit difficult, it can impact the way your heart works and how you choose your future. For example, the condition of your heart can affect how quickly you change or grow. It's important to understand the state of your own heart and work to improve it. In our life of faith, it's important to have a heart that never forgets God's grace. There are also some people that easily forget God's grace and have a change of heart. But, you know, it's why sometimes we have prayer titles every year and pray to not have a change of heart and to never forget God's grace. But, you know, a lot of the time this does come from our personality. You need to look back on your personality and see if you often change your mind in little things too. But why did Jesus compare the heart to a field rather than something else? Isn't there, you know, anything other than a field that could be better? Why a field? You know, why did Jesus choose field as an earthly comparison? There's always a reason. There's always a spiritual reason behind it. With what did God create mankind? Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. As scripture says, God made man from dust. It's why Jesus compared the human heart to soil, a field made of earth, made of dust. You know, Jesus didn't just choose a random word and say field. There's always a spiritual meaning. God made man out of dust, out of soil, out of earth, which is why Jesus also compared the heart to the soil. Soil has the characteristics of changing when different elements are introduced. Some type of soil is good. Some aren't as great. But this good soil that might have been good soil since the beginning can turn bad if you pour in bad elements. But sometimes if you have bad soil but mix in good elements, then it can turn good. No matter how good the field, if you fill it with garbage or pour in polluted wastewater, it will turn barren. But if you remove any harmful elements and apply the right amount of fertilizer to bad soil, it can turn into good field. The human heart is the same. If you sow good into the heart, it becomes a good heart. But if you sow evil, it becomes an evil heart. When God created the first man, Adam, his heart was like fertile soil, good soil. It was gentle, pure, free of evil, filled only with the knowledge of truth. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve lived in peace and obeyed God's will. But the heart of Adam that was once like good soil turned into hardened ground. From the moment he disobeyed by eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil forbidden by God, Adam's heart turned desolate. You might think, you know, from one command of disobedience, but it wasn't just, you know, one simple disobedience of a command. It's everything combined of sinning, disobeying, and receiving the world. By committing sin, Adam's spirit died and the communion with God broke, which caused him to hear the voice of the enemy devil and Satan. The enemy devil and Satan sowed untruth into Adam's heart, like hatred, envy, jealousy, anger, judgment, and condemnation. This meant Adam's heart, which was once fertile, became an uncultivated, barren field, overgrown with weeds. It was no longer soft soil, but hard and rough. Ever since Adam's sin, all his descendants were born with hearts like a hardened, uncultivated field. Of course, this doesn't apply to everyone. There are some who are born with hearts like fertile soil. Since people are born with the energy of their ancestors and parents, they also resemble them in physical traits and in character. Each person's heart field depends on the kind of energy received from their parents. Even if you're born to a family with lots of children, you know, we've got a set of parents who've got, let's say, 10 children. All the 10 children are different. And throughout the time of bearing 10 children, the parents' situations are different as well. It could be that when they had their first child, they could have been rich and wealthy and prosperous. But by the time that they have their 10th child, they could be desolate. You know, so when they had their first child, they could have had a very calm and collected personality. But as life becomes difficult by the end of the 10th child, you know, the parents could have changed into people with a stronger personality, a rougher and harder personality. And depending on how the parents are like and how parents nurture their children changes the way the children grow up. In the case of Adam and Eve, all their children are different as well. You know, Cain and Abel are different compared to Adam and Eve's third child and so forth. And even if you're born with a heart of good soil, if it's not properly cared for, it can turn desolate as you grow up. It's because the condition of the heart changes depending on the environment and teachings received in life. If you're born with a more unpolished heart field, it can become good soil if truth like goodness and love is sown, meaning cultivation. But today's world is so steeped in sin that most children grow up seeing, hearing, and having untruths planted in the heart. So through Adam's sin, all the children afterwards, all of Adam's descendants were born with a hard and rough heart field. And of course, there can be children who are born with good soil or a softer soil, but with that, you need to cultivate it, especially when the children are younger. Because the younger you are, the easier it is to be, you know, to adapt. But even if you're born with a better soil, as you grow and plant bad seeds or untruth, the heart field that was once pretty good can turn bad. Of course, I'm sure all parents would want their children to grow up beautiful and kind and good. And a lot of people, you know, who try to live a good life, think, you know, about being kinder and showing goodness, even in the world. But if you don't do that, even in the world, then, you know, there's no other way but your heart field will end up becoming desolate or more unpolished as opposed to better. So, you know, children from a young age are influenced by media and you know, sometimes conform to worldly trends. They imitate insta-worthy and filtered appearances and absorb the sinfulness of adults' words and actions without any discernment. When adults like parents and siblings often judge, condemn, and gossip rather than act in goodness, love, and forgiveness, the children come to naturally resemble them. As children see and hear people fighting and hating each other, the attributes of untruth are sown into the heart as they grow. Some children receive good education from an early age and develop relatively good heart fields. When parents raise their children in truth, a heart closer to good soil forms. Even if it's not necessarily God's truth, children can be taught worldly ethics and good morals and have a reasonably good heart field. To those with a worldly good heart, it's easier to cultivate the heart into good soil once in the truth. Of course, a heart refined by worldly ethics has many areas that require cultivation when viewed in the light of truth. Each person is born with a heart field that contains a sinful nature inherited from their ancestors. Everyone who accepts the Lord must go through the process of cultivating their heart into true, fertile soil. Cultivating the heart into fertile soil means removing the sinful nature and other untruths from the heart. When the heart field is cultivated, seeds that will bear fruit can be sown. If we look at the heart field, do you, you know, complain or look back on the type of parents you've had or the type of environment that you've grown up in? You know, do you complain about how this is why you've turned out this way? It's other people's faults. But our mature aged Christians, our church members who have listened to the gospel of holiness for 20, 30 odd years, you know, especially if you've married and lived away from your parents and lived your own life with your own families, these are all excuses because, you know, you would have left your homes to start your own families and would have lived probably more than half your life on your own or with your own families without living under your parents' environment. So it's all on us. It's how we accept things or what we learn. Even now, we can still transform our heart fields into better soil. It depends on your choices. You know, you need to acknowledge the fact that your life has come out the way you've chosen it. It's your life choice. So don't just always blame the environment or your family or your parents. Get rid of the sinful nature in the heart field and make your heart into fertile soil, into better soil. If you plant good seeds and get rid of the bad seeds, then, you know, your heart field can turn into fertile soil. So when the heart field is cultivated, seeds that will bear fruit can be sown, and anyone can do that. Don't think that you cannot become sanctified. If you think that you're a type of person that cannot be sanctified, then you're not believing in God's strength, in God's power, because God helps you change. And I hope that you realize how important it is to cultivate your heart field. What does the seed represent? The seed represents the Word of God. The Word of God is the will and the very heart of God. When God's Word is sown into a person's heart, it sprouts, grows, and bears fruit. The Word of God carries life. If the heart field is like the path, rocky ground, or among thorns, it becomes difficult for the Word of God to bear complete and lasting fruits. The seed may not sprout or just wither and die if it does, or it bears poor fruit. The seed, which is the Word of God, sown in fertile soil, yields a harvest of 30, 60, or 100-fold. This is definite. Galatians 6, verse 7, the latter part. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. What kind of fruit will be produced? Like the verse, reaping what is sown is the law of the spiritual realm. What kind of fruit? Well, it's fruits like the fruit of life, the fruit of the Spirit, which are spiritual fruits. A heart that resembles God, the heart of a true child, will flourish beautifully. In our Christian life, we often think of blessings as bearing fruit. Sometimes it could be, you know, evangelism. That could be bearing fruit and links with blessing. But, you know, the most important fruit is resembling and becoming a true child of God. It's what God truly wants. The most important fruit that God desires is for His children to change their heart field into good soil, into fertile soil, to be transformed and become the fruit of being God's true children, to resemble Him. And if you are someone who has borne fruit as God's true child, then your life will be prosperous. All will go well, both on earth and in heaven. This is the order. But you don't become God's children, you don't spiritually cultivate your heart field, and you only just, you know, physically bear fruit, something that you can see before your eyes, whether it's evangelism, whether it's being, you know, faithful and working for God's kingdom. You know, it's not just if you only focus on the physical aspects of bearing fruit, but don't spiritually bear fruit and turn your heart into good soil, then, you know, you would end up regretting your actions once you enter heaven, because the rewards that God's true children who have cultivated their heart fields, the kind of rewards that they receive is different. It's more grander as opposed to those who have only borne physical fruits. And if you've cultivated your hearts into spiritual and bear spiritual fruits by having good soil and a heart, then when you physically try and bear fruit as well, the amount of fruit that you bear is more because you've already been spiritually cultivated. So a heart that resembles God will flourish. And when you accept the Lord and become a child of God, the work of cultivating the heart that was once hardened to uncultivated ground after Adam's sin begins needs to happen. Simply accepting the Lord does not instantly turn a hardened heart into fertile soil. It happens as you start to attend church, hear God's word, and recognize the untruth within your heart. Like pulling out weeds one at a time, your heart gradually cultivates and transforms into good soil as you remove the untruth. Your heart turns into a heart without evil, a gentle and good heart that obeys God's word, a heart of truth. This must be your Christian life. What is the reason that we go to church? It's to receive salvation. But to receive true salvation, you must cultivate your heart. Of course, you can still attend church without truly cultivating your heart. And of course, you can still enter heaven without truly cultivating your heart, but it'll be a lower level in heaven. You must have that absolute belief that you will receive salvation. And, you know, you must have the ability to not stumble in your belief of receiving true salvation. You must be able to stand firm enough so that, you know, the enemy, devil, and Satan cannot take away your salvation. And even if the enemy, devil, and Satan tries to shake you, that you do not stumble. And in order to stand firm, no matter what happens, then it's cultivating your heart field. You know, standing firm doesn't just happen because you're faithful in God's kingdom on the outside. You must be able to stand firm spiritually. And in order to do that, you need to get rid of the sinful natures in the heart. But if you just pray and don't and only sow and only plant seeds but do not sow them, or you do not try and look after your soil, your fields, in order to bear good fruit, then, you know, you cannot bear good fruit. It'll end up becoming a change of heart. I hope that everyone will be able to have a heart of good soil so that no matter what you plant, that it'll bear good fruit. Your heart, the process of cultivating the heart requires effort. Depending on the condition of each person's heart field, cultivation can happen quicker for some than others. But the important point is that there is no heart that cannot be turned into good soil with God's power. Compared to the joy of a rich harvest, the labor of cultivation is nothing. But still there are some who hold on to the same heart field they had before meeting the Lord, despite attending church for many years. That means, you know, some begin cultivating their hearts but stop midway, allowing weeds to grow and stones to become deeply embedded in the soil. If you look at, you know, a farmer's fields, in order to sow seeds, the farmers prepare beforehand and cultivate the land, the soil. They redo their soil so in order to make sure that the soil is perfect and ready and good enough to bear new fruit. And they would do that every year before they sow, before they plant seeds. If you don't cultivate soil or the field, then it won't grow no matter what you plant. Think about your backyards or your flower beds. If you just leave the soil as is for years and years and only just throw in seeds, you'll see that it won't grow as well. If you don't look after your soil, then, you know, depending on the weather, it could rain a lot. It could be extremely windy, you know, rubbish and dirt and just dust and leaves. Different insects can come to your flower bed, to your field. But if you don't look after it, you don't take care of it, then how are the seeds supposed to grow in good condition? So if you complain or pray, but then end up stopping prayer, or you don't listen to the Word of God as much as before, you might think, oh, I thought I got rid of certain sins in my heart. Why is it coming back up again? It's because you need to cultivate the heart continuously. It's not just a one-off. You don't just make your soil perfect once and leave that for years and years. You must be able to cultivate every single time so that when seeds are planted, that seed can grow abundantly. Same thing with me. I've got some plants in my house, and if I don't look after those plants, you know, water it when it needs watering, give fertilizer when it needs it, then my plants won't grow. So you must be able to look back on yourself and think about what it is that you're missing. What is it that you've stopped that has impacted negatively on your heart field? And if you find that and then replenish it, then you can cultivate your hearts. So never stop fervently praying. Never stop learning the Word of God. Never stop cultivating your heart. So don't say, why are my old sins coming back out again? We need to always cultivate our hearts. So some believers cut down the thorn bushes above the surface, but leave the roots intact, which result in little fruit being born. Others remove the stones and thorns, but don't diligently sow seeds, so the harvest is small compared to the soil's potential. Except for a path-like field, most soil will at least sprout when seeds are sown. There are fields that bear fruit to a certain level. So even if it's not good soil, you know, when you plant seeds, it can grow to a point. Even if the soil is not of best quality, it can still yield a good harvest if a lot of fertilizer is added. So even if the field has lots of, you know, rocks and stones and a bit of rubbish here and there, it can yield harvest if you, you know, add in plenty of fertilizer and give it water when it needs and sunlight when it requires it. Of course, in certain areas where it's extremely of lower quality, then it might not bear as much fruit, but there will be places in certain fields, even if it's not the best field, where the seeds will grow. The word of life at this church, the works of power, and the overflowing grace of God serves as that very fertilizer. It's been like that since the beginning of our walk of faith. Our effort, diligence, faith, and good heart field lead to abundant answers, healing, and blessings. And because our pastor emeritus put in that sweat and that effort to receive God's word and to share it with us through the countless manifestations of God's power and love at this church, many of our members were able to cast off unclean or worldly desires from the heart. But the main work of cultivating the heart field is each person's responsibility. So what's the problem? Is that, you know, some people they don't cultivate their heart field, but they just keep adding fertilizer. And because they see that the seed is growing and bearing, you know, fruit to a certain point, they don't try and look deeper into the soil. And then they end up not knowing that it's not truly a good soil. But to be honest, in order to bear good fruit, you must actually have a good soil. But when you just add fertilizer without cultivating the good soil, without taking out the stones, the rubbish, and the insects, the leaves that are hindering better fruits, then, you know, you stop cultivating your heart field, and you only just keep adding fertilizer, thinking that you're doing well. However, if you don't cultivate your heart field into good soil yourself, then it's hard to enter into a higher level of heaven. So when is it that you can realize that your heart field is not as good soil as you expected? Well, it's when you meet difficult situations in life, or trials or tribulations. That's when you realize that, oh, my heart field was not as good as I thought. It's because I kept adding fertilizer that the seed grew. But do we only, you know, have to receive trials and tribulations to cultivate our heart field? No, we can continuously cultivate our heart fields without difficulties in life if we continuously do so. So sometimes through trials and difficulties, God tries to make us realize what is it that is true in our hearts? What is good soil in our heart? And tries to make us realize it, that all we are doing is adding fertilizer on top of fertilizer on top of fertilizer in order to grow the good seed. It's necessary to labor and remove hardened areas, stones, thorns from the heart, even if you receive abundant spiritual nourishment. Some who received grace and immersed in a spirit-filled atmosphere were able to turn from the world to some extent, serve faithfully, but without cultivating the heart field from the root, they eventually changed and turned back to the world. It's important that we continue to work to cultivate our hearts. If your heart hasn't yet fully transformed into fertile good soil and you become complacent at a certain level and stop cultivation, then your heart can return to its former hardened state or worse in times of trial. I hope that you'll diligently cultivate your heart field. And next week, we'll look into the four types of heart fields to help you examine your own heart. Genesis 3:23 says, "So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken." Father God expelled Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden and sent them to earth. God commanded them to cultivate the land and live through the produce. Spiritually speaking, the command to work the ground refers to the cultivation of our heart field. As God's children on earth, we must diligently cultivate our heart field and restore it to fertile soil. We must also faithfully sow seeds in our heart. As we work the soil of our heart, we may see beautiful flowers bloom even before the soil becomes fully fertile. This means we can fulfill God's will and glorify Him greatly. For example, we can experience revival, gain recognition, and be praised when we diligently serve. When filled with the first love, we fervently pray and dedicate ourselves, take on responsibilities, and be a good example to others. But the ultimate purpose of cultivation is not to produce flowers. It's to bear abundant fruit. The most important fruit is that our souls must bear abundant spiritual fruit. It's important that we never stop cultivating our heart field. We must restore it to the good, fertile soil that God originally created. Once we turn our heart field fertile, we can reap abundant fruit according to what we've sown. This means the Father's providence will be fulfilled more quickly and gloriously. As we now pray for the construction of the new sanctuary, I hope you won't neglect cultivating your heart field. God delights in a sanctuary built by those who bear the fruit of true children. God responds to the prayers of these believers and blesses them. You must make your heart into a beautiful, fertile field so that you can bring joy to God with the abundant fruit in all that you do.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father, God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and nausea. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast up sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met an experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.